The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
It's Friday, May 24th, 2024. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. And of course, I'm your host, Ricky Scaparro, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. And we want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. We've got a lot to cover tonight. I want to talk about the bird flu and why I believe it's not going away anytime soon. Now, of course, before we get started on this thing tonight, I would love for you guys to do me a favor. Please smash that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. This is going to help us push our content out there, help us to be seen on these social media platforms. And of course, I want to encourage you, if you've not downloaded our free app, pick it up today on Apple and Android stores. Depending on your device, get it today. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be squared away, have every headline, every podcast right there readily available at your fingertips. And listen, if you're new, first time joining us, let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. So again, I want to really talk about this bird flu thing. I believe that the course of this thing is going right on track of what I had expected it to be. For example, let's just go ahead and pull this up. Here's a headline from, this is from expressnews.com. CDC issues urgent warning against drinking raw milk as bird flu fears rise. So this is something that they have been talking about, where federal officials have noted that at least 42 herds in 9 states are known to have cows infected with this type A H5N1 virus.
The CDC has issued a warning against consuming raw milk due to bird flu particles. This has sparked concerns among the Springfield City Council's Health and Human Services Subcommittee. According to the USDA, 42 dairy cattle herds in 9 U.S. states have confirmed cases of H5N1 virus infections in cattle. There haven't been any human cases since last month in Texas. While the CDC says there's little risk of infection, there have been high levels of the virus found in raw milk. City Council members say they have concern over raw milk's potential health risks and accessibility.
Now, I want to show you, here's another headline. This was interesting from The Hill. So how fast is bird flu spreading in the United States? Cows in the United States, quote, we have no idea.
In March, we reported bird flu for the first time, made the jump to U.S. dairy cows. Now, health officials say it has spread to cats. Officials say at least 14 cats have died of bird flu in the U.S., the spread raising concerns about the possibility of human-to-human transmission from a future variant. So far, though, only a few human cases have been found. It spread to cattle in the first place.
So we've been tracking bird flu for a number of decades, since the 90s when it emerged in China, and there's been outbreaks here and there over the last few years. And so what we think happened late 2023, early 2024, was in migrating mallard ducks coming from the south back up north. There was probably a crossover event. One of those infected ducks landed on the farm, perhaps died in some feed that the cattle got into, and the virus made the jump. And just remember, flu virus is very easy to mutate compared to COVID. It's able to do so a lot faster. And so I think that's what happened. And now we have over 53 herds across 9 states officially, and that's definitely an undercount because a lot of farmers are just not incentivized to report this to the USDA right now. And there were some independent researchers that tracked the milk in the Midwest and found that it was prevalent in over 50% of milk samples. But again, this is not infectious virus because it's already gone through pasteurization. But it just goes to show you how much more widespread it is than we think.
So you could drink the milk even though it has bird flu in it?
Right. So again, going back to what we remember from COVID, right, when we did the PCR test, right, that was just to test it would find the evidence of the virus in non-infectious fragments. It doesn't necessarily mean it's infectious, contagious fragments. So as long as you drink pasteurized milk, you should be okay.
So have humans ever gotten bird flu?
Yeah, so over the years, there's been about 900 cases. And the concerning thing is, the one that wrote in said that 50% have died. And so it can be very virulent, like much more than COVID or any other pathogen we've seen. And so far with this particular strain, there's only been one reported case. This was a dairy farm worker in Texas who got a very bad case of conjunctivitis from working with infected cows.
Yeah, so what does that look like? I mean, if you've got bird flu, how is that different from the regular flu, from COVID, from other things people have experienced?
I mean, we don't really know right now because we just have that one case, that really bad conjunctivitis. And so what we don't want is for So the virus right now, we know it's present in the milk, and it's particularly high concentrations in the udders of dairy farm cows. And we think that it's a mechanical process of transformation across the equipment from the collection of the milk and then the processing. And it's going from udder to udder and across the cows that are moving across the states. And I don't think people really understand how much herd cattle cross the interstate lines, including internationally. So it's already very much widespread. So when we talk about flu, we think that it's like a contagious respiratory virus. But right now, it's not killing these cows. What we don't want is, because there's so much human contact with cows, we don't want this virus to develop an affinity for humans. Mm. And then it further mutates to cause human-to-human transmission. We just don't want to get to that point.
Well, and then now it's in the cats. And a lot of these cats, as far as I was reading, they're barn cats. So they're cats that live on these dairy farms, mm-hmm. and therefore they're pets. Mm-hmm. So that's concerning. Mm-hmm. What's the response like in terms of from the government? I know the CDC mm-hmm. issued a warning today basically for state health departments to be really mindful and track influenza.
Right, so there's multiple levels of what's going on. The USDA is providing up to $28,000 per farm to increase their biosecurity to sort of track this and enact more safety measures. But it's really not a lot of money. A lot of these farms have, you know, from 100 to over 10,000 dairy cows. And the CDC is offering $75 only per farm worker to help in the testing and collection of samples. And again, that's not too much either. And so, you know, that's why we're talking about wastewater again. The CDC is telling local public health officials to continue to do the flu monitoring. Because as you know, we're off season for flu right now. And bird flu is still flu A. So if we're testing in the ER and we're sending these samples to local public health and they're doing the sub-testing to see what kind of strain it is, that could help pick up if it's bird flu.
Well, and we should also note that the farm worker who did get mm-hmm. bird flu and had pink eye.
Conjunctivitis, yep.
He recovered.
He survived, right.
Yeah. Okay.
So to answer Colleen, the original question for Ask the Doc, should we be concerned about bird flu right now, or is it much ado about nothing? What's the bottom line answer for her?
I think we should be concerned. I think we should be really keeping a close eye on this. Because you remember back in early 2020 with COVID, you know, asking the farmers to control the herds moving across states, the horse was, in this sense, the cow's already out of the barn, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost when we started to do travel bans for COVID. It's too late. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we're doing the right thing in tracking the wastewater, because I think the farmers right now are just not incentivized to help us out. Because you have to remember, a dairy cow, they get 10 to 20 years out of, and that's a huge investment for them.
Mm-hmm. And so, well, this is their lifeline.
Right. And so if you start saying you have to take this cow out of the rotation for 30 days, which is what it is now, that's a huge loss of money. So the government really needs to step up their incentivization for the farmers to help us out, or we're mm-hmm. just going to have to rely on wastewater testing as it is.
All right. Well.
According to public health and infectious disease experts, they are concerned that the U.S. is too limited in its testing, leaving an incomplete picture of the spread of the virus. The threat to the general public is, quote, currently low, according to health officials, and the country's milk supply is safe. Just one person has been infected, but that's going to change as of the recording of this podcast, because I'm going to show you a report coming out of Australia. So this thing is now spreading outside of the United States, which, in my understanding, it was not limited to the United States, but this is where it's been focused at so much so with all these the dairy cows and the herds and so on and so forth. But I'm going to show you a headline here in just a moment from Australia. Quote, it's critical that we are well positioned to test, treat, prevent the virus from spreading. I think that's clear in everything we're saying, according to Health and Human Services Secretary, who told reporters recently that the outbreak is widespread and officials have found the virus again in 42 herds across 9 states, and that's in the U.S. alone. Dairy farm workers are at risk every time they are exposed to potentially infected cattle, and viral mutations could cause an outbreak. Let me say that again. Viral mutations could cause an outbreak. This is according to the quote-unquote experts. Cases are potentially being missed, either in people, cattle, or both. Wait a minute, stop. I want to pull this up. I want to show you what they said here. Cases are potentially being missed in either people, cattle, or both. So now the experts are telling us that there could be other individuals that are already infected with the virus, but they're being missed. They're not being reported. They're not being seen. They're being overlooked. In past avian flu outbreaks in other parts of the world, the virus typically kills about half the people it infects. Let me, again, there's a reason I'm highlighting all this. In the past, avian flu outbreaks in other parts of the world, the virus typically kills half of the individuals that are infected. But even if the strain doesn't pose a significant risk to the public, many experts see the, quote, response as the biggest test of pandemic preparedness since the want-want virus. Interesting. There are opportunities that have been missed that we could have absolutely applied from the experience with the last viral outbreak. I think there's still time. We're not in trouble yet. This was according to Aaron Searle, a senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. Now, this was not the same tune from former CDC director, Dr. Robert Redfield, who he made a statement that was very sobering and said that the bird flu, this current bird flu, will be the great pandemic. For whatever reason, former CDC Director Robert Redfield wasn't there for us during the last pandemic. He was part of the he was part of the Fauci-Birx Collins team who focused on vaccines. He spoke to News Nation and said that bird flu would be the next pandemic because of the, quote, I'm going to highlight this, dangerous gain of function that scientists are currently working on in universities.
Like when SARS came in 2002, 2003, from a bat to a civet cat, then it went to humans. It never learned how to go human to human. And MERS in 2012, 13, from a bat to a camel to humans, it never learned how to go to human to human. Normally, there's a species barrier that takes a long time for these zoonotic viruses to figure out how to get around. Mm-hmm. But when COVID started, it was immediately, I say, the second most infectious virus for man that we've ever seen. This virus was obviously educated how to infect man. And we know there's a paper in 2014, 2015, where the scientists actually published that they were able to teach COVID how to bind to the ACE2 receptor in humanized mice and infect human
tissue.
Right,
they were doing...
It's just very disappointing. There's not honesty.
Yeah, they were doing at this Wuhan lab gain-of-function research, which is when you manipulate these viruses to make them highly transmissible to humans and then try and come up with a vaccine to stop it. And, of course, the theory here, and something you have always believed, is that there was a mistake, an accident at the lab, and somehow that virus leaked out. This raises real ethical questions about this gain-of-function research happening in labs, not just in Wuhan, but around the world. You think they should all be stopping this?
Yeah, I wrote an op-ed with Mark Siegel in the Wall Street Journal a little while back, really calling for a moratorium on gain-of-function research. I think it puts our world at great risk. We have the risk of natural spillover, but there is a species barrier. I'm obviously most worried about bird flu. Mm-hmm. Right now, it takes 5 amino acid change for it to be effectively infecting humans. That's a pretty heavy species barrier. But this virus is already now in 26 mammal species, as you saw most recently, cattle. But in the laboratory, I could make it highly infectious for humans in months, because it's been published the 5 amino acids that I need to change. And so I don't think that research should be done. That's the real threat. That's the real biosecurity threat, that these university labs are doing these bio experiments that are intentionally modifying viruses. And bird flu, I think, is going to be the cause of the great pandemic, where they are teaching these viruses how to be more infectious for humans.
All right. Yes or no answer. Will we? I know you believe it was a lab leak. Do you think we will ever know for sure?
Absolutely.
I hope so.
Translation, it's going to be dangerous because humans are involved in its mutation. Now, where has that happened before? Where has a pandemic transpired because of people and nefarious experiments going on behind closed doors and secret laboratories that resulted in catastrophic consequences? Has there been an incident like that in the last 10 years? According to, again, this is the CDC director, guys. This is not a blogger. This is not a podcaster. This is not a political pundit. This is a CDC director, and he says, quote, it takes 5 amino acid changes for the bird flu to be effectively infecting humans. Now, I don't know what stage we're in right now, but I do not suspect that this thing is going to cool off, dissipate, slow down, or go away anytime soon. And it already has went through multiple mutations. Quote, but in the laboratory, again, this is the CDC director, I could make it highly infectious for humans within a matter of months. These bio experiments that are intentionally modifying viruses in bird flu, I think is going to be the cause of the great pandemic. Notice he said, I think it's going to be the cause of a great pandemic. He said it's going to be the cause of the great pandemic. All right, here's another. This is from The Guardian. Quote, the issue is when to pull the trigger. How prepared are we for human bird flu? Let me say that one more time. Again, the title of this is, the issue is when to pull the trigger. How prepared are we for the human bird flu? Pull what trigger? What are they talking about here? Check out this opening statement of this article. Quote, the H5N1 virus has been devastating bird populations and is now infecting mammals too. Quote, is human-to-human transmission next? And are we ready for another pandemic? Flu is constantly evolving, and it is clear that a couple of years ago, the current strain of bird flu changed to become supercharged. Now that it seems to be fairly widespread in the cow population in the U.S., that's much more direct route where it could transmit to people and gain the adaptions. Quote, now that it seems to be fairly widespread in the cow population in the U.S., that's a much more direct route where it could transmit to people and gain the adaptations, and it needs to go pandemic. The Roslin team, this is a team of investigators and virologists that are investigating the current outbreak of bird flu that we're discussing here. The Roslin team's task is to figure out the precise changes in the viral sequence that seems to be allowing it to infect cows and then test a strain on human cells and many organs in a laboratory. The very thing that the CDC director fears and he worries about. The ultimate goal will be to make predictions about whether it is starting to become more dangerous to humans and to animals that live in close proximity to the United States, and to feed that information back to the relevant public health authorities. If the findings spark concern, it could provide the government with more evidence to start bolstering national supplies of flu vaccines. There you go. Last year, reports emerged that UK Health Security Agency had run a particular exercise to source suitable jabs, while the U.S. has accumulated a national reserve of 4 types of flu vaccine that could provide some protection against H5N1 in case of any future outbreak. Again, they're prepared for this, guys. We have went over this. The WEF, the CDC, the WHO, all these talking heads, the Bill Gates, these individuals out there have all said it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't think for a moment that when it says here, the issue is when to pull the trigger. I think most of us are smart enough to understand what they're talking about here. Quote, let me read this. The issue is trying to decide when to pull the trigger for go. Because if you wait until it's already a pandemic, then you're playing catch up and you know that you're not going to be able to make enough vaccine quickly to protect everybody. Well, here you go with another one of those conspiracy podcasts and tinfoil hat segments where you're going to try to convince us that these agencies and governments and officials are looking for an opportunity to inject the populace with another viral load. Well, guys, I just gave you a report from multiple sources, so you can do what you want with it. I'm just telling you that Again, these guys are telling you, not me. These guys are telling us that it's not a matter of if, but when they pull the trigger. Here's another report. Bird flu hits New York. Oh, boy. As humans, look at this. This is the actual headline I'm reading to you guys on podcast. Bird flu hits New York as humans are told to stay alert after a new H5N1 pandemic warning has been issued. Samples from six birds have tested positive for avian flu influenza, including a red-tailed hawk, three Canadian geese, a falcon, and a chicken, Science Alert reports. And again, all of these samples were taken in New York City, where these birds have been found to have this virus. A microbiologist at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai and co-author of the NYCV8 study said, quote, "It's smart to stay alert and stay away from wildlife." What? It's smart to stay alert and stay away from wildlife. Well, hold on now. I thought there was nothing to be concerned about. I thought there was no evidence that the animals are spreading this to the humans. But here is a microbiologist that is telling us that it would be advisable to stay away from wildlife. Wow. She even went further and said, this also includes preventing your pets from getting in close contact with wildlife. New York City lies beneath the path of large numbers of migrating wild birds, and her team explained that, quote, this brings them into contact with a highly dense population of humans and pets, providing an extensive urban animal-human interface in which the general public may have little awareness of circulating infectious diseases. All right, now I want to show you this. Quote, child confirmed as first case of H5N1 bird flu has now been detected in Australia. So we have a Texas farmer, and now we have a child who, according to this report, has been diagnosed with the bird flu in Australia. According to this Australian affiliate, the child contracted the avian influenza infection while in India and fell ill in March of this year. So we're just, it's 2 months into it, and we're just now hearing about this. So think about that. This individual was allegedly infected back in March, and 2 months later, we're just now hearing about this. So who knows how many individuals has been in contact with that individual, that child. The announcement came hours after bird flu was detected on a farm in Victoria. So this is in Australia, too, for all of you. All of our listeners and viewers from Australia. Contact tracing has not identified any further cases of avian influenza connected to this case. The child reportedly suffered a severe infection but has since recovered. Well, that's good news. Officials explained that the avian influenza virus was identified through additional testing of positive influenza samples, part of Victoria's enhanced surveillance system designed to detect novel or concerning flu virus strains. Health officials emphasize that most people are not at risk from the virus unless they have contact with infected birds, animals, or their secretions in infected areas. Quote, the avian influenza virus was detected through further testing of positive influenza samples that takes place to detect novel or concerning flu virus strains as part of Victoria's enhanced surveillance system. The wonderful enhanced surveillance system of Australia, you know, that was greatly used in the last pandemic.
Here in the U.S. tonight, the CDC confirming a second human case of bird flu in this country. The first case in Texas, the second case in Michigan.
Tonight, U.S. health officials closely monitoring that human case of the highly contagious bird flu virus. Now the second infection linked to an outbreak in dairy cows. Authorities saying a Michigan farm worker recovered after having mild symptoms. That worker likely contracting the virus from infected livestock. Back in March, a Texas farm worker was diagnosed with the first human case of bird flu tied to dairy cows. Both patients worked with cows, both reporting eye infections, but the cases are not connected.
That the risk to human health still is very low.
Because of the bird flu threat, the CDC tonight, as a precaution, urging cities and states to keep up flu surveillance this summer.
There is no human-to-human transmission, which is very important reassurance that this problem is still mostly confined to livestock.
And David, federal health officials say farm workers are at an elevated risk for contracting bird flu, and they are providing states with protective equipment if requested.
Then we have this report. Four more cats have now died of H5N1 bird flu in the United States. Now, here... Again, bizarre. I assume these are outdoor cats. We have cats of our own, but they're all indoor cats. So they're not exposed to quote unquote wildlife. Look at this. Four more cats have died. This is not the alarming part about this. What I'm about to read to you is four more cats have died of H5N1 bird flu in the U.S., including two pets in South Dakota. Now look at this. With no links to poultry or dairy cows, okay? According to state and federal officials, at least 14 cats have recently died of bird flu. So there are at least 14 we know of, four recent, and two had no links to poultry or dairy cows. So, again, now we just assume that this is spreading among the animals. It's, you know, these officials, it's amazing. These officials are like, well, you don't need to worry unless they're directly exposed to these dairy cows that are sick or the poultry. They're drinking infected milk, the unpasteurized milk. But now they're saying there are no links, none of this stuff. Remember, does this all sound familiar? Guys, unfortunately, this is going to bring back some haunting nostalgia to 2019 and 2020. When the last pandemic was in its alpha stage and it was slowly beginning to circulate on the scene, slowly increasing in its spread. And then we would get the reports that someone over here in this state, in the United States, and someone over here in this state, in the United States, they were not exposed to any individual that had the virus, but yet they had the virus. They were positive with the virus and had no contact with anyone who was known to be infected. So we're seeing the eerie resemblance of this happening again. Again, it's happening again. Of the newly reported cases, two were domestic cats which died at a property in Campbell County in South Dakota. The state's veterinarian said there was no livestock on the property where the pets had died. No other details regarding how the cats were infected are known at this time. Again, disturbing. Two other cases were recently reported in Michigan, one in Isabella County and another in Ionia County, and both cases involved barn cats on commercial dairy farms where the cows were also infected with the virus. That makes sense. The other ones in South Dakota is, again, alarming. Earlier this month, officials confirmed that a domestic cat in Montana was also infected with the bird flu, exhibiting neurological signs and the discovery of a dead skunk on the property. It's unclear if the skunk was also infected. So we can pretty much say now at this point that all the wildlife has potentially been infected by the bird flu. I'm just saying. We've got walruses, we've got penguins, we've got dolphins, we've got skunks, we've got cats, we've got probably dogs. By the way, remember all the reports recently about all the dogs that became ill and they're sick and they're dying and it's some kind of a mystery virus? Who knows? I'm sure they'll probably come out and say that was the bird flu as well. So again, now that's in animals. What about humans? Remember, I showed you that report. They don't know how many humans could actually be infected at this time. They don't really know. They're in the dark. They're always in the dark. They somehow, all the technology we have, all the information, the knowledge, the resources, the laboratories, the scientists, all that stuff, and yet they're in the dark and they have no idea what they're dealing with, what it could be like, how they got infected, how they got exposed, how many humans can be infected. On Tuesday, the CDC asked state health departments to continue influenza surveillance at enhanced levels throughout this summer to help detect potential cases of bird flu in the community. More samples will also be submitted for subtyping to help distinguish between seasonal flu and H5N1. So, guys, I don't want to keep you long today. It's Friday. As of the recording of this, as you're hearing this, I'm already in, Lord willing, I'm in the state of Virginia. I'm spending time with family. We're going to come back. We'll be flying back on Monday, so there will be no broadcast Monday. It's going to be Memorial Day. A lot of people will be spending time with their families and whatnot, so we're just going to go ahead and take a break on Memorial Day. I'll be off Monday, but we plan on being back on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I want to emphasize here while we're talking about this today that we got to remember, guys, that Jesus said one of the signs of the coming of the Lord, the end of the age, is there will be plagues and pestilences. Plagues and pestilences will be one of the indicators that they will intensify and increase in intensity and magnitude as we approach the coming of the Son of Man. So this stuff should not be something that you're shocked by, and you should not be shocked if man somehow brings corruption to these things. There, you know, Paul talked about in Romans chapter 1 that there, he talks about evil inventions, things done in secret and that are not made known to the light. Eventually, it will be exposed to the light, but things that are being done in secret. Remember, one example I think of, remember that laboratory that they discovered here in the United States not too long ago? That it was a secret laboratory that no one knew existed. And when they went into this laboratory or this building, this thing had all kinds of biological agents in it. It had vials of anthrax and I want to say bird flu and other things that was in this building in America, right here in America. But again, the mainstream media just kind of skirted over it and officials said, oh, it's nothing to worry about, nothing to see here, folks. Let's all just move along. So I want us to listen. Jesus said, be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. We've got to realize that, again, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. There is evil present. Satan is working overtime to destroy, to kill, steal, and destroy. That includes humanity. Why? Because we're created in the image and the likeness of God. Every time Satan sees you and he sees me, it's reminded him of God, and misery wants company. Satan knows his outcome. He knows his destiny is the lake of fire, and he wants to bring everybody he can with him. He wants to bring destruction and chaos and all these things. So I want you to keep that in mind. He is ultimately the author of all this nonsense that we're seeing, all the upheaval, the chaos, the lawlessness, the iniquity, the evil scientists and the laboratories creating these things. Again, all of this, I believe, will come into play. I think the picture will become more and more clear. Paul said, we see through a glass darkly. It's going to become more and more evident and clear the closer we get to the finish line. Does that make sense? So listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, pick up your free app today. It's available on Apple and Android devices. You can, again, just download it. Yes, to push notifications. Everything's going to be your fingertips. Headlines, podcast, breaking news, viewpoint segments, everything's going to be right there for your convenience. And as always, guys, if this ministry informs you, equips you, blesses you throughout the week, week after week after week, of course, we want to encourage you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically. Right there on your screen, if you're watching a visual, there's two different ways. You can give by the app. That's the easiest way. To the bottom of the app, just click on that donate button. Or you can go to the main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. And when you get on there where it says donate and you click that, there's going to be ways you can give: PayPal, Venmo, Cash App. you can give by your major credit card, or you can give by check or money order right there on the center of your screen. You can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So I really pray and hope that you guys have been blessed by this podcast, blessed by this segment today and our week of podcasts. I'm looking forward to being right back here in the studio, Lord willing, next week on Tuesday. Remember, no broadcast on Monday. We'll be back Tuesday. We're praying that we go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday next week. And we've got a lot to talk about next week that we didn't cover this week. Look for more information. Look for equipping messages. All that's going to be available next week. So listen, have a blessed and safe Memorial Day weekend. I appreciate your prayers for travel safety, and that the Lord would grant us a great time with our family and an opportunity for Him to be glorified. So until we see you next week, guys, may the Lord bless you, may He keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.